Amen, amen. I'm really, really excited to be bringing this word. I'm more excited to preach the word of God than ever before. I want you to know that. And I've been really praying. I spent the whole day praying for you in Philadelphia and all of our online family. And you know, we, since the very beginning, actually learned this from Chrissy's dad. When Chrissy was away from the Lord, he quoted a verse that marked my life. In Psalm 112, it says, "The children, their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Oftentimes we pray the children of the righteous will be mighty in the land. The children of the righteous will be mighty in the land. How many believe those babies behind that wall are gonna be mighty, mighty, mighty in the land? How many would say amen? Next service, we will have close to 100 teenagers in Breakfast Club getting a Bible study in the Becoming Center. I am believing God that we're going to raise up spirit-filled young adults to really serve God and honor God. How many would say amen to that? Do it, Lord, by your mighty power. It's a big burden. We're called to raise up the next spirit-filled generation. And you know, a couple weeks ago, we had all the men come to the altar. Chrissy was praying over the men for Father's Day. And Pastor Mike was there with his son, who I think I just saw. That was you, right? Yes. So it's crazy because he came here as a kid. Now he's got a beard and a, you know, he's got a wife. He's children. Like it's crazy how people grow up. And so Mike was there. Praying with Mike Jr., it's a beautiful picture. I laid hands on Tamia. I laid hands on Mike's boy, who's a man. But here's what's important. He's a man of God, right? It's a big deal that he's a man of God. He's a real man of God. Right now, Pastor Tim is actually with Pastor Mike in Cuba, and Elam went. Elam is, he just went to his orientation in Loyola. Just got accepted. He got accepted to Loyola. He's going to start his freshman year. And so we want Elam to be a mighty man of God in school. In Philadelphia, there's just a wonderful young lady. Her name is Grace. We were talking to her recently. She's going into her senior year. We're like, what school are you going to? And she said, oh, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. And family loves the Lord. And how many want to see Grace and Elam and freshmen in high school here and little children? How many want to see them love the Lord with all their mind, all their strength, all their heart, all their soul? And watch them become everything that God has called them to be. How many would say amen? That is a dream that we have in our lives. Hallelujah. Now, all of those things can happen if, everyone say, if. All of those things can happen if they develop an ear to hear what the Spirit says. It's not automatic. It's not because you grow up. It's not because you go to church or even grow up in church. If you want to have that blessed, fruitful, abundant life, right? I want to speak to young people today. But if you want to have that blessed life, you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. By the way, two things, parents. One thing, parent, and then two things, but one. Let's say it. You want a good prayer to pray for your children, pray, God, give them ears to hear what the Spirit says. Because there comes a point that they don't necessarily have to listen to you anymore. But how many know we should always listen to God? Right? So I want to talk about this very, very important topic. And all of us get to really listen in, because no matter how old you are, we need an ear to hear what the Spirit says. So watch this. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while the people were alongside the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables in his teaching, and in his teaching said, listen. Everybody say, listen. Okay? Are you listening? Are you listening in Philadelphia? Are you listening in Chicago? Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed, everyone say other seed. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop. Some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, watch this, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Let's say that together. Ready? Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. This is the key. He said, listen, and then he says it again. He starts with listen, he says it again, listen. And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Why are you telling these stories like this? A little bit more. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, because you can see but not perceive, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Now, part of what Jesus is saying here is that not everyone has ears to hear what God wants to say. Not everyone has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. You know what Elam needs? Elam needs ears to hear what the Spirit says. Grace needs ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Can I tell you something? I spent all week praying, God, give me ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So the title of the message today is Hearing the Spirit. How many want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say? Come on, somebody say amen right now. Hallelujah. And listen, this is not just individual. This goes to us taking an offering and us thinking about all of these different things because, listen, in the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke to seven churches. He said different things to different churches, but to every church he said the same thing. And I'm going to read the synopsis of it from just one of them. He said this to all of them. And here's what he said. In Revelation chapter 2, he said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, for example, one of my big responsibilities, and all of the pastors, by the way, all of us, we need to have ears to hear, not what we want, not what makes this look successful, not what makes this look good, not what brings back a greater return in terms of people or money, whatever. But no, we need ears to hear what the Spirit says so that we will make an eternal impact. You understand? It's not about how things look now. It's how things will look when we stand before Christ. And so we as leaders, but collectively, who the book of Revelation is for you. When this is for you as a member of a church, right? Listen to this. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, very, very important, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I want to tell you up front, we will close with the fact that when you hear what the Spirit says, you become victorious. The key to a victorious life. Okay, it's not secular strategies or worldly strategies or education is everything. Education is great, but it's not everything. Or this or that or money or whatever it might be or realizing a professional dream. No, what really brings victory is we need ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. King Jesus, give us ears to hear what the Spirit says. So I want to pray right now, and I'm praying for you, and I want you to pray for yourself. And I'm praying for me that God would help us in Philadelphia, not just our children. This is kind of one of those moments. I'm talking about young people, but this is for all of us. My oldest daughter is homeschooling one of the kids. And it's interesting because I'm noticing that as Susie is teaching James, she's learning all this stuff. And she was a great student in school, but it's amazing how as she's kind of helping him to learn, then she's taking it in. Look, whether you're 14 or 84, we can all learn today. How many know we can all hear today from what the Spirit says? So come on, lift your hands with me. Father, we're one church in two cities. And God, I pray, Father, that you would bless Philadelphia Tabernacle, that that church would become everything that you've called it to be, that it would make an impact on the millions of souls that are so lost there. God, I pray for Chicago Tabernacle. And God, we're just scratching the surface. We're just scratching the surface, Lord, of the many, many people that need to know you. They're so close. They're so close, Lord. And God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. I pray that we would receive a fresh sense of mission and calling today. I pray that we would receive fresh marching orders today. God, we want to be numbered among those that bore fruit, Lord. 30, 60, 100-fold. Give us that kind of life. Give us that kind of life, I pray. Bless this word. Bless all of our online family right now. Go reach into their hearts and minister to them by your mighty power. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. So here's what I want to do. First of all, I want to break down a couple things about hearing in general, and then we're going to talk about what happens when you have ears to hear from the Spirit. Okay? So the definition of hearing is actually threefold in the context of this verse. So hearing has different levels. First, it's you perceive audible sound, okay? So find yourself with someone and they go, did you hear that? And you're like, no, I didn't hear it. You know, it's they heard something, but you didn't hear it. That, you know, sometimes we were in Taipei when on our trip on our way to Malaysia. It was Chrissy and I and Pastor Jovan. We went and ministered to like 500 pastors there or whatever. And so I was so hungry that morning, and we were having breakfast in a little diner in Taipei, and I could even tell you I was eating like a fried pork chop. You can critique my dietary issues later, but the point is, so I'm eating, and all of a sudden, Chrissy and Javon said, "Did you hear? Did you feel that? Did you?" And I was like, "No." So I look up, and the lighting fixtures are swinging. They're like, "Oh, that made me dizzy and all that." And it turns out there was an earthquake, but I completely missed it. I was too locked in on that pork chop right there. So sometimes you perceive something that's there, sometimes you don't. But that's just level one. Level two is that you do perceive, and then you consider, in the context of what Jesus was saying, you actually consider what's being said. Listen, a farmer went out to sow. This is a very important story. Okay, listen to what it means. Listen to how it affects you. Listen to what this means for your life and for your future, for outcomes and all of the above. That's what it means to consider what's being said. And then the third level means that you understand and perceive in the sense that you're actually willing to stand under the truth that's spoken. So if you look up the origin of the word understand, it means to stand under. So a lot of times we say, "I understand," but not in the old English sense. When you say understand, back in the day, the origin of that word, what you're saying is, "I will stand under that truth." Okay? Yes, I'll live under that. I fully receive that to the point that I understand. Now we say, "I understand," but it's really at the second level. It's like, "I'm considering," but that doesn't mean that I'm going to stand under that. A big question is, will you stand under the word of God today? Not do you perceive it, not are you considering it, but will you stand under the word of God? When you read the Bible, are you standing under the word of God? Or are you reading the Bible and then going and doing whatever, standing whatever you think? That's the game changer, okay? It's when Elam is at school, and the parties start, and the booze, and the girls, and the this, and the that. Will he stand in the name of Jesus? Help him to stand. Somebody say amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about saying, "I stand under the authority of the word of God." When Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let them hear." This is what he means. Not just for you to become like, "That was a good point." You know, I don't want to raise up sermon connoisseurs. You know, we're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ and all of his teachings. Somebody say amen. That's what a disciple is. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Teaching them to obey. We are followers of Christ. It means we obey his word. That's what it means to understand. So it's important for us to get that Jesus is using this story. Let's break down this story visually for you. Here's what he's basically saying. In the story, what the soil is to the seed. So watch this. The seed is packed with all of this potential. All of these possibilities, that little thing can turn into a giant tree with fruit, a 30, 60, 100-fold. If all of the seeds, I mean, that's incredible blessing, release of fruitfulness, right? So in the story, what the soil is to the seed in our lives, are you ready? Your ear is to the word of God. Because if you close your ear, then you're also shutting off the seed. And the seed, the word of God, is the key to your victory. What's the key to your victory? The word of the Lord. How do you get free? The word of the Lord. How does God release his power? It's the word of the Lord. The word heals, the word saves, the word transforms, the word leads. The word shows you where, when to go, what not, you know, what to do, what not to do. It's all based on the word of the Lord. And so he who has an ear to hear, your ear is like the soil that receives the seed. That's why Jesus said, he who has an ear to hear, let them hear. Anybody here want to hear what Jesus has to say? Hallelujah. God, put that back one more time. God, give our young people, oh, a little bit more. God, give me. God, give me ears to hear what the Spirit says. I want to follow you, Lord. I want to do what you want us to do, Lord God. No matter what it is, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen? So we have to have an ear to the point that we actually can discern what the Spirit is saying. And I'm going to point out just two quick things to you as to what happens when you have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. And that's more than you listening to sermons. It's more than you just coming to church. We're talking about a relationship where God is talking to you. You see, a lot of people, their walk with God is flat because they're not hearing. You know, but let me tell you something. There's nothing more electrifying. If I could to make this personal, right? Since I've been a Christian for about 40 years. The absolute number one most exciting thing for me is hearing from God. There's nothing more wonderful, delightful, and I'm blessed. I'm so thrilled to be with my wife. I'm so thrilled to be with my grandkids. I'm thrilled for all of these things, and there are a lot of things to thank God for, but I'm telling you right now, there's nothing like a moment when God speaks to you. Hallelujah. How many would say amen? And I'm telling you right now, God wants to speak to you. And God wants to speak to you directly, not through other people only. Yes, he wants to speak to you through me and through friends, but the primary way you grow up in God when God is speaking to you directly through his word. Nothing like hearing from God. So, two quick things, and then we're going to really pray today. So, when you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, here's what happens. Whoever hears, that person is actually led. Whoever hears is led. You can't be led by God unless you hear. And remember this, being led by God means that he tells you, not you tell him. Okay, some people draw up their plans, they write out their list, they tell God, and they pursue their list instead of saying, God, have your way with my life. What do you want me to do? Have your way, Lord. You know, where you lead me, I will follow. How many want to sing that, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow? Yes. Whoever hears is led, and you have to hear to be led. If you don't hear, you can't be led. And then if you're not led, then you will not experience the blessing, the victory of God. You can be led by God if you hear. You guys, if I could, when we started this church, right, we had salaries, we were part of a big ministry. The next stepping stone at that time for a guy like me, for my wife, is to, hey, we were at this big church. Go take over your own big church. And we could have applied and done that and potentially gotten another big church. In fact, when we were here our second year, we got a call from a big church in San Diego of all places. I think they did it. They called us in February. Our church was 2 years old. I was like, San Diego, Lord. Do you know I wanted to pitch for the San Diego Padres just for the weather? I was like, here it is. And it was like, no. That's what you want. That's your flesh. But how many know what the flesh wants and what the spirit wants is very, very different? Right? You've got to listen for what the spirit says. And here's a way to break kind of this down. So life is a lot like a puzzle. So we have all of these puzzle pieces, right? In fact, we did a little research and I found out that the largest puzzle that you could buy right now is about 60,000 pieces. Okay? And I thought, man, not that this is like a spiritual scientific correlation, but the average person has about 60,000 thoughts a day. The largest puzzle is about 60,000 pieces. And you think over the course of a 70-year span, you put one piece, it's like about two pieces a day for the rest of your life. I'm just making this up. I'm just giving you an illustration, right? Now, how do you put a big puzzle together, right? So the I didn't even know that this existed, but there's a World Jigsaw Puzzle Federation. And you know what they said? When you start a puzzle, always start with the edges. You see, don't start in the middle. Start with the edges. Everybody say, start with the edges. So for you and I, this is a wonderful illustration, great advice. If you want to be led by God and you want the puzzle of your life to come together, start with the edges. Well, what do you mean, start with the edges? The Word of God is what provides the edges for the framework. How many know if it's in the Word of God, it's good, but if it's outside of the Word of God, don't do it, don't do it. That's not your puzzle piece. The Word of God should frame everything about you. So here's what you do. You start with the edges, and then you look for the picture. Like, what's the picture? God has a plan. God has a picture for your life. So you start with the Word of God, and then you say, God, what is this picture that you want from me? And if you seek him, you'll find him. So think about this. You start with the edges. Let's take dating. Let's take marriage. You start with the edges. Say, look, don't be unequally yoked. Oh, he's going there. It's foolish to date someone if you love God. Don't date someone who doesn't love God. It's already outside of the edges. You show me a life with no edges, I'll show you a life in trouble. I'll show you a life that's drifting and wandering. Start with the edges. In every facet of your life, start with the edges, but then look for God's picture. If you ask him, he'll show you that picture. If you seek him, he'll unfold it for you. You start with the edges. And so, look, this is what a person's life. The edges are provided by the Word and the Spirit. He who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says. The Word of God is clear. Don't date an unbeliever. Is it because they're like this? Like horrible, wicked, mean, are all unbelievable? No, it's just because where that person's value system is will not be in line with your kingdom value systems. And then for the rest of your life, if they're pulling this way, you're going to be pulling this way because you're going to want to honor God. And they may not value honoring God and you'll have stress. But if you both want to honor God, how many know that's where the blessing comes? That's where the fulfillment comes. That's where the peace comes. It's crazy how powerful regular people become when they both get on the same page with God. If you're married, just get closer to Jesus, you'll get closer to one another. You see, so there's all sorts of different ways to live life, but for the child of God, we start with the edges, which are the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And then, little by little, God begins to show you emotional health. You want to be emotionally healthy? Get close to Jesus in private. I'm telling you right now, If you get really close to Jesus in private, he'll make you healthy. And as that time is happening, many things will happen. You'll learn how to forgive people. You'll learn how to release people. You won't put expectations on people. You know why? Because your private time with God is so meeting all of your needs that all of a sudden the hurts of other people, it just looks different. It looks different. How? How do you get emotionally healthy? Start with Jesus. You see? If you abide in his word, John chapter 15, if you abide in his presence, if you abide in his word, if you abide in his love, you will be not just healthy, but you will be fruitful. You see? So there are all of these different pieces, your family, you know, your finances, you know, your ministry. Everyone here, what's your ministry? You know, how should it really be that in the church, 3 out of every 10 people serve and then 7 out of every 10 people don't? I'm not even going to ask for an amen on that. I just know it's going to be quiet. Find your place in the kingdom of God. Serve in the kingdom of God. Many hands make the load light. You see? And so there are all of these pieces. How many know the Holy Spirit wants to put those pieces together? But here's what you do. You start with the edges, which is the word of God. And then you look for the picture and you say, Lord, help me. Look, let me give you a quick personal, like real time. You know, when COVID hit, when the George Floyd tragedy, I mean, literally, we watched a man got murdered on live television, right? When that whole thing happened, it turns out Chrissy and I were on vacation. I want to confess to you that when I go on vacation, I'm not reading the news. So we were away. We didn't even know. And we recorded the message. And so we played the message. I recorded the message. Maybe I recorded it like on Monday or Tuesday. The church was closed at the time. Nobody was going to church. So we would record earlier in the week. I went on vacation. The whole thing blew up. We failed to put, this was pre-recorded so that people could know we're not responding to the national tragedy. We ended up doing that on that Tuesday. But it didn't matter. We didn't respond. And we got tons, never happened before in ministry, but we got tons of like accusatory messages and kind of, you know, phone calls and even meetings. People that I had counseled, loved, served, cared for, pastors cared for, served, because we failed to respond because, and it was my fault. I mean, I should have read the news that day, right? But it didn't matter. Like, we were so misinterpreted. And here's what happened. So it's funny because this whole thing, you guys remember, there were people saying, if you don't post your rage or whatever. And I, like, for me personally, I'm like, never in history have people communicated intelligently and articulately. That is a word, right? Articulately. So trying to, you get it. With a, what is it, 140 characters? You know? So I'm like, I don't communicate based, I might tell you something I'm doing, but I don't do that on social media. I don't even consider myself an influencer, like, you know. So people were like, you got to post, you got to this. So it was weird. In the same week, here's what was happening. I would get one phone call or one meeting where people were really upset. And I was like, but you know me. My mother's black, bro. You know, where do you think I grew up? Don't you know that I've been beat up because of the color of my skin many times? Like, you think I don't understand the plight of this? I was on vacation, and so we're gonna tackle this on Tuesday, but it didn't matter. So I, some people saying, you gotta do this. Then I had other people saying, same race, calling me and saying, hey, stick with the Bible, do not move from where you are. So I was like, oh snap, who do I listen to, right? Then on the other side, the whole COVID context, there was so much swirling. And I would get one call, people saying, you gotta do this. Another call, people saying, you gotta do this. And on and on and on, right? That, by the way, that's the life of a pastor. But all I could do was say, Lord, I want to follow you. And here's some of my guiding questions. Because I understand New Testament history, I think, better than most. So some of my guiding questions were things like, how did Jesus navigate political injustice and unrest? And how did Paul do it? You know? For example, Nero, when Paul was martyred, Nero was in power, and Nero was so wicked as an emperor of Rome that he would leave the palace and go and mug people at night, among other things. I mean, this guy was wicked. He actually burned down the city and then blamed the Christians. And that launched a great persecution that was part of Peter and Paul being martyred. There are things that I can't, they're so vile that he did that I can't even say it here. That's who was, like, consider our president, right? That's who their president was. And so what I tried to do is hear from God on this. I've never talked about this, but I want to give you real time, right? In the end, did we get it perfect? No. You know, I don't know. You know, I wish I would have listened to the news that day. I wish I would have, I don't know, gotten up a little bit sooner. I felt like the prayer meeting that we had really addressed it well. But at this point, those 48 hours, they weren't enough for some people. People left. I know what it is to get canceled. You know, we got canceled by people that we were friends with for years. You know what I mean? Because of something that happened someplace else. And, but what can you do? You know, what do you do when your family doesn't agree with you? What do you do when people don't, when you're in a cultural context and people want you to go this way, that way? I'm going to tell you what you do. You seek God and you say, I want to hear from the Word and the Spirit. Could somebody say amen? I want to hear from the Word and the Spirit. And look, can I give you a piece of advice? Hear from God and be humble. Because even when you think you hear from God, it may not be perfect. Did we get it perfect? I don't know if we got it perfect. I tried, you know. But it's like the Word of God and what the Spirit says and what the picture says. One of the interesting things I do want to say on this, and but this message is not about that. This, I'm just using you an example that will make you listen. Because I see, you like this. So, yeah. That's why sometimes you use a hot topic and people go like this. And so it's not hot for me, you know. It's like, but see, a big factor in life. Like, one of the things I used to say is, like, when you look around our church, is our church mixed? Yes. Right? So just know everyone is welcome here. Anybody could be a leader here. The next lead pastor of this church one day, I don't care what color they are, as long as they're a man of God. How many would say amen? Could somebody say amen? Trust me, I don't have this picture. He has to be Cuban. Un cubano. You know, I don't. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Cuiche. No. That's not on my mind. And so, look, we all have our own kinds of pressures. You can hear from God in the midst of your pressure. You can hear from God in the midst of the stress. Thank you. You can hear from the Holy Spirit. If you seek him, you will find him. But the Bible says, he who has ears to hear, what? Let them hear what the Spirit says. Now, last thing I want to say on this, because we're living in a day, like people tend to follow church trends. And so we're living in a day right now where people, a lot of words are being given to different people, from people. And which is fine. That's part of the gifts of the Spirit. It's good to get a word. Eagerly pursue the gifts, eagerly pursue prophecy. But you want to be careful that you're not going to people to hear from God before you go to God to hear from God. Okay, always go to God to hear from God, and don't confirm your life starting from the outside in. It has to be from God to you, right? Here's a couple of key things about the Spirit's voice very quickly. Now, I'm going to close in momentarily. Number one, the Spirit's voice is confirmed through the Word. The Spirit's voice is confirmed through the Word of God. Be less authoritative if you don't have the edges for it. Don't take it so strong, even though you may like it. Chill. Because obedience is better. Number two, the Spirit's voice is always holy. God will never tell you to do something ungodly. He'll never tell you to cheat, to steal, to do something wrong in order to get ahead. He won't even tell you to become worldly to win someone to Jesus. You know, Paul said, I become all things that I might win them. Paul never meant I will become worldly. Like, no, I got to go hang out with my friends and party with them and drink with them. And then when we're high together, you know, we've done the whole wake and bake thing, as a phrase I learned the other day. Then I'm going to tell them about Jesus. No. If you're like strung out, don't witness to people, right? That's not the way to do it. The voice of the Spirit is always holy. And lastly, the Bible says this clearly in John, the Spirit's voice always glorifies Christ, which means Christ, his glory is more important than my pleasure. Oh, I got two claps, but I know you're working on it. Well, listen, in Philly, this is to Grace. This is to everyone, to every person in Philadelphia. Okay, his glory above our pleasure. And I'm telling you right now, that's the best life. That's the blessed life. How many would say amen? Come on, put your hands together. Okay, this last, I want to say one more thing, and then we're gonna pray, right? But look, whoever hears is led, and whoever hears overcomes. In Revelation, he says, he who has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. It says, to the one who is victorious, I'll do this, to the one who's victorious, victory. The key to victory is to hearing. When you hear, you win. When you hear, you get the answer. When you hear the word of the Lord, you get the power. When you hear the word of the Lord, you get the grace. In other words, you may not be able to get over your drug addiction without outside help. But I'm telling you right now, when you hear the voice of the Spirit, you will get free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You can't have a godly, holy marriage if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit, how many know victory is coming to your marriage? Victory is coming to your house. If you hear, when you hear, you overcome. A lot of it, we're looking for this, we're looking for that. I'm going to tell you right now what you need. You need to hear. Because when you hear, you overcome.